The Presentation Podcast, Season 7, Episode 170. Are you a Microsoft 365 user? Have you explored working on PowerPoint files from Microsoft Teams? Troy and Lori of TLC Creative Services talk about how their team leverages the collaboration workflow of PowerPoint and Microsoft Teams, and some tidbits about their offsite project in Italy. Let's join the conversation.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, based in Southern California.
And I am Lori Collar from TLC Creative Services, based in Southern California.
Lori, we generally take a moment, give an update on what design projects are in process, maybe a comment on real life things that are happening. It's as much for, you know, the listening audience to know what the hosts are up to and just give us time to chat, but it's also for us to connect because, you know, we really don't get to talk to each other on a weekly basis. So because we kind of work well side by side every day, it's not much of a surprise for me to hear what you're working on, but maybe you could just kind of share what's going on in the office and studio with everybody.
Well, we are in the process of hiring a designer to join our team. And that's always a good place to be when you are busy and expanding. And for the first time, some of our applicants not only have some PowerPoint experience, a couple of them actually had PowerPoint examples in their portfolio, which was pretty darn cool. I've never seen that before. So that's, I think, an indication of our industry, our small little industry, and that we're growing. Also, I'm in the middle of several large projects for one of our clients. And this coming week, I will begin living in LA for the next month. But of course, home on weekends to visit you.
To visit me. That's awesome. Well, I just got done with travel upon travel. We actually just got back from Italy about a week ago now from a fantastic work PowerPoint project. And then we kind of parlayed that into an extended weekend in a couple other cities we've never visited. So that was fun. I got to get home and turn around and go to the awe-inspiring Dallas, Texas area. I never even left the airport. I was at the Grand Hyatt inside the airport. So that was my next travel event. And the reason I am sticking around is I've got 2 weeks of solid production design, presentation design with the team for an upcoming event that we're doing. We have a team of 9 graphics ops all taking on the challenge of running a big multi-ballroom event. And we're expecting a lot of design work for the event. So, but let's dive over into our conversation for today. Collaboration it's a buzzword used by many applications. Microsoft it's infused collaboration into the Microsoft Office suite, but it is not really overly aggressive on the marketing of these features. They've been there for quite a while. And for TLC Creative, we've integrated Microsoft Teams as our presentation design collaboration hub, and with great results. There are a few gotchas along the way there. This episode, Lori and myself are diving into our workflow with our internal design team and with several clients that leverage the Microsoft Teams hosted PowerPoint files for a seamless collaboration workflow. Okay, so Lori, let's figure out how we're going to talk about this. I guess we should start with like the technical logistics of using Microsoft Teams for a PowerPoint file. Yeah?
Okay, yeah, that sounds great. Let me give you some logistics or a little bit of background of how I am set up with one client in particular, which I think we'll use as an example today. So I work on two tenants, our TLC tenant, of course, and then our client tenant. And there's a difference between using the web app and using portals. And so typically I don't use a tenant in guest mode very often. I've run into some gotchas, especially when you are in a Teams meeting environment where I couldn't share the way I expected to and things like that. So I typically separate my tenants, if you will. So currently I have the Microsoft Teams app open automatically on my machine every time I start up, and it's in the TLC tenant. Makes sense. Our team members, I see notifications from them instantly, et cetera. Then I go over to the web and I open up Teams on the web where I have our client tenant already set up. So essentially I'm running two different instances of Teams, one with each tenant. The only gotcha is that I just have to keep an eye on the web version because occasionally I will miss notifications there. And I do not use portals. I did for a while and I ran into some issues. And so I stopped using portals. You may know, I'm sure they've made changes. I just haven't gone back and tried using portals to manage multiple tenants at once. Are you using portals right now?
I use portals. It's a free app on the Microsoft GitHub area. It's not an official Microsoft product, but it supports Teams. It's basically web-based windows of Teams without being in a web browser. And I use it quite often, but it does have a few things like sharing your screen isn't an option within within a meeting there. So I use it for the notifications and just kind of keeping track of when I'm working with multiple people. I always have my main desktop version signed into the TLC account because that's where the most interaction happens. Right. And then I guess we should say is, you know, on the logistics side, you have to take a PowerPoint file and you have to move it into Teams, which is really SharePoint. Or if you're on, if you're not on a business environment, it's OneDrive. But it has to, you have to move the file into the cloud, the Microsoft cloud online.
But for all storage. Intents and purposes, I mean, SharePoint, OneDrive aside, I kind of ignore that. You drop it on Teams.
Right.
And whether, yeah. So that's the ultimate thing. And that's what we do with our client. A couple of the things about setup, for PowerPoint files that have been loaded into Teams, whether it be TLC or our client tenant, I almost always open the PowerPoint file in app, in the desktop app versus either opening it on PowerPoint online or opening it within Teams, only because I find that the editing capabilities are very different, limited on those two versions. If I just need to peek at something really quick, I might open it directly in Teams, but if I'm using custom fonts, they won't show up properly. So again, I almost always open a PowerPoint file in the desktop app. And the other thing I wanted to make a note is the only big gotcha I have in terms of logistics for Teams is bandwidth. If you've got someone on your team, if you have very low bandwidth, you're going to probably run into some hiccups. Most notably, you know, you've been working on a file that you've opened within Teams, and then PowerPoint will give you a notice that, you know, we can't upload your changes right now, but next time you start the file, we'll upload them. And that's almost always a bandwidth issue. And I've run into a couple people on my client's team that they have terrible internet and we're always struggling because their changes don't get reflected in the decks.
Yeah, they must have the same issue with any, you know, Zoom or Teams meetings as well. But that's a good note. As long as the file is open to you, assuming you're opening it with open in desktop app, you have it in PowerPoint, it is a full PowerPoint file. It has the full resources of your computer. You're good to edit. You're good to present. Even if the internet access is interrupted, obviously the collaboration of others seeing your changes, they're not going to see it and you're not going to see the changes they've made. But the file is there and it's full fidelity at that point, full featured. You know, it's not going to close on you if you lose internet. It's not going to explode on you. But you do have to be aware that the save thing may be a delayed save because it's going to wait till it reconnects.
And I did have that happen occasionally, you know, where we get an internet hit here at the house or at the office and literally it'll say we can't connect right now. But then a moment later, it's connected and it's saved back. And I love that I don't worry that my changes won't get reflected.
You know, the other thing I want to do is before we kind of dive into examples of workflow is what is a quick definition of collaboration and kind of our expectations of that?
That's a good one. Okay. So in this scenario, I would say collaboration is simply the ability for multiple people to work in a PowerPoint file, simultaneously making edits, comments, creating animations, even rehearsing and such, all the while being able to go back to a previous version and grab content that perhaps you decide later on that, oops, I didn't want to remove or change that. In other words, yes, it's a live file. It's evolving. Everyone can be in it. But if you do need to go back, you can. And I think that's one of the keys.
That's a really good point. Yeah, the version control, it's been built into SharePoint for literally years and years and years. And it's now leveraged through Microsoft Teams. So people kind of are being exposed to this feature that I think was more of a techie thing. And it's awesome. I mean, we use it for more. We'll use an example later of where we do use it. But and I would also say that the expectations are we can work in a file that's hosted on Teams without exactly the same as if it was on our desktop, because we're opening in the desktop mm-hmm. version. So that's a good start. Let's go into this now. Let's talk real world. What's an example of a collaboration file with a client? Not our internal team, because I know that's where we started and that's our main stakeholder position, is that it's good for that. But let's talk about client interaction.
Okay. I've got what I would call a more simple, straightforward one. Let's use a pitch deck, for example. And in this case, we are redesigning or, you know, doing a makeover of a presentation. So we work with a client on generic pitch decks for multiple brands. And all of these decks are uploaded to the client's team folder.
That's probably a really good point. Let's clarify. We have a lot of large corporate clients, and Microsoft's done a very good job of making sure they are all Office-centric. And these are organizations that are Microsoft Office mm-hmm. 365 or Microsoft 365 enabled. In other words, it's no big deal for the clients. They already have the software. They already have the workflow. We learned a lot of this as we started doing this. Well, now we're talking 2 years ago from clients saying, oh, this is just how you do it. Because obviously Microsoft did a better job of educating their corporate clients than small businesses. But just to set the tone for everybody listening, these are not just your, hey, I'd like to work with you client. These are corporate clients and they have Office 365 and we're not really educating them. They're good to go with this.
But to be fair, let's take a little back in history. You know, 3-4 years ago, this was the client that we started our Microsoft Teams journey with. And there were some bumps along the road, getting everyone to understand that, no, work in this deck only. And you know, so we did have an adjustment period, the onboarding period, if you will. But now for the last several years, I mean, everybody in the company is on board. Everyone understands Teams, the idea of collaboration, and it's a beautiful environment. But in this case, all of our decks were uploaded to the client Teams folder, and then they invited us to the folder. So even though I didn't have my client email, they used my TLC email, I had full access to the folder and have had no issues ever. So once the files are in there, we meet with the client, like I'm sure many of us do, to review the project needs. In this case, we met with a different marketing team for each pitch deck. And then once we know what we need to do, myself and our team here at TLC, we jump into the decks and as I like to say, we start doing our magic. So two big things while working through the decks, we leverage the app mentions in PowerPoint comments a lot. And that's my preferred way to do it. So, you know, you go to the review tab and you know, show comments and you can add PowerPoint comments on slides. If you app mention in those, it's beautiful in that it sends them a notification. So they can see more quickly that, hey, she's got a question. Many times also, I will actually see someone working on the slide itself. You know, those little bubbles that we see popping around. Mm-hmm. If I see someone working on the slide that I'm working on, I've often literally jumped onto that slide, created a bright colored box and started typing my question. And it's awesome because I can literally watch them then, you know, erase my question and then start typing the answer. A little wonky, but it's pretty cool that we can collaborate, you know, that in that real time, just like that way, in addition to chat and other things.
I think we should call out now that file version control has completely shifted, because it used to be you own the deck, you work on it and give it back to me. We own the deck. And we have a very robust server scenario. We put it on a central server that all of our team syncs to. So all of our computers sync and grab the same file. So we internally were managing versioning, and it used to be a learning curve / argument with the clients about, no, you can't work on it because we own it. Mm-hmm. And now everybody has access to it. So everybody owns it. We'll talk about how you can take access away. But for the most part, this is now the client can watch you doing edits. Maybe a little creepy, maybe a little problematic when you're trying to juggle multiple things, maybe a little problematic when you decided, you know, I'll work on it in the wee hours of the morning when the client doesn't know I'm working. Well, they kind of do now. So it's thoughts along those lines.
I am anyways. Aware of that. Yeah, because there's times when I'm not working in the deck for a couple hours. I may be in Photoshop, you know, dropping out backgrounds or other things. And I'm cognizant, like, no, really, I'm working, guys. I'm just not in the deck right now. So that is a good point. And speaking of images and such, so when we are working on these pitch decks, and we do use app mentions to have the communication flow, but also the client will just be making edits to the deck itself, which is beautiful. Because in the past, when we owned the deck, the client would email us with their text changes or, hey, this price changed. And absolutely happy to make the change, but it takes a minute to read the email and go make the change. Now, the client is focused on making their text changes, their content changes, while I am solely focused on the design of the presentation, which allows me to, honestly, all of us to work much more efficiently, which is great. And so probably the biggest thing I do, in addition to just working through and communicating with the client, is constantly monitoring the template masters. because with this client, they absolutely, those masters tend to multiply like rabbits. That lovely feature of keep source formatting, it's beautiful, but it does have some gotchas. And in this case, it multiplies like rabbits sometimes.
Yeah, there is no, that is still a struggle. You know, old things, you know, we get the deck from the client and like, oh my gosh, this has 60 masters into it. Or it has 3 masters, but now it has 60 extra layouts added because the Frankenstein masters that PowerPoint creates, that doesn't change, folks. Teams doesn't do it. But you can be removing or modifying those live while the client's working on it or while it's a live file. You can update the masters and whatnot throughout.
Absolutely. And I have put it to the test and I've not had any issues. A few, maybe three, four years ago, I think we had some issues, but things are smooth now. So no complaints whatsoever.
Microsoft has done a really stellar job about bandwidth. They have a lot of studies about when you're presenting, that their bandwidth, when you're presenting in Teams, they're about a 40% less bandwidth because of the way they packet control the content going out there and its full fidelity. I think the same type of technology applies to collaboration. It's constantly doing micro updates instead of whole file updates. And it's really robust. I mean, it's done us a world of good. So let's hear, we talked about some of the logistics of what we're talking about. It's a little bit of a definition, some of our expectations, like it does just work. We talked about a client file. How about, let's just keep going on the client thing. Yeah.
So that was an example of what I would call more of a simple, you know, we have a smaller deck and we have one or two people working in it with me. Now we're managing multiple decks, but you know, it's the conversation is either an app mention, sometimes email, sometimes directly on the slide. You know, we can see what each other's working on, which is great. But another example would be what I would call a large line review deck. So this would be a large deck that, for in this case, it has every single product for the season or year in one deck, including upfront introduction slides, marketing slides throughout, animated, like PowerPoint animated product demos throughout. You know, these are big decks. They're, you know, 300 to 400 slides sometimes. And everyone on the team, the client and ourselves, works in the same deck. And we're talking, there could be 20 people in this deck at one time. So a couple thoughts. One, again, it works beautifully unless you have a bandwidth issue. It works so well. Sections, PowerPoint sections are vital in this case, because you can imagine, you know, different groups have different slides that they're interested in. So we make sure that the sections are very clear. Slates, you know, I'm sure you've talked about slates before. Those hidden information slides for us are usually a really bright color. It could indicate a video will be played here. Here's the speaker speaks for this section. It could be there's audio embedded on the next slide. These are all slates, not only for us people's working on the deck, but eventually for the AV team as well. Those are vital. So like I said, the slide count can get up to 300-400 slides. So file size management is vital, which I think is where you were talking to. It's a good point to bring up. There are times that we do need to take the file offline. There are times that working on a deck in Teams is not viable. And that's almost always when we need to optimize the deck to get the file size down. So in order to do that, we use Teams and we check out the file. And the biggest challenge, of course, is getting everybody out of the file so that we can check it out. And I'm sure you can explain that a little bit better than I did.
Well, let's just preface this. There is not a feature, Microsoft listening, please, to say, kick everybody out. I have master control, because if somebody goes away for the evening and they're still, they leave the file open, you can't check it out because they're in the file and you can't force them out. Or somebody from Microsoft or Knows Better, please tell me how to do this, because we have this dilemma all the time where we want to check out a file. In other words, nobody should be able to work in it. We can't, because there's always one person or two or three that just aren't accessible and they're still in it. But anyways, it's a good feature. It really is.
Yeah. And the reason we check it out, of course, is because we are going to download that file, because programs like Slidewise, NX PowerLite, they don't work when you have a deck open within the Teams environment. And I guess that kind of makes sense. And those are two programs that we use to optimize decks. I'm sure that's familiar to anyone who listens to the podcast. And so we will check out the deck, pull it offline, use NX PowerLite, use Slidewise to optimize the deck to track down. In this case, with this client, it's those ginormous TIFF images that NX PowerLite doesn't catch usually, at least for me, it doesn't. But then we also use Slidewise to clean up the fonts and a whole plethora of other things. And once we're done, then we will push the deck back to Teams. And we have two options. With this client, I always add our version number. And that way they know this is a fresh new deck. It's small. We move the old deck into an old folder. We don't have to do that. I could literally just copy this deck back to Teams with the same file name. And Teams recognizes it as just simply another version. So, you know, half dozen, whatever that phrase is about which way we go. But yeah, so that's one time when we would not use the deck on Teams.
Yeah, everybody think carefully about replacing with a new file name, because anybody that has links to it, the links don't work. If you move it into an old folder, the link will still open up the version in the old folder. So some people, sometimes it is not known that you're working on the not current version. So that is definitely an education communication thing. And I do want to kind of back up, because Laura, you just brought it up. I did say you, when you open up from Teams, you say open in app and you open it in PowerPoint for desktop. You have full control, all your features. Obviously, you just mentioned Slidewise and NX PowerLite do not work because they still need a local file, because basically they're doing they're closing the file, running their processes, is saving it to the local file. I'm hopeful they'll make network enabled versions, I guess it would be. But all of your other add-ins, plugins, features like the Noun Project. I love using the Noun Project to open up the side pane. That works even though the file's hosted on Teams. Mm-hmm. All of the Bright Slide, all the tools too, all your formatting types of
add-ins.
Add-ins will work. Things like tools too. I use it when I take a master show file and I need to break out the individual final files. That works fine. You know, you select the ones you want, you hit export selected slides, and it wants to save it right back to the network. I generally do it to my computer, but even those work. So there are just a few exceptions to what does not work when it's running from Teams. And those are actually two pretty big ones you got to be thinking about. What else we got here?
Well, I think I already mentioned it, low bandwidth. It's not good for Teams. Obviously, most of us, if you're working at a corporate company location, that shouldn't be an issue. Again, if you need to optimize a file, you know, you need to take it off of Teams. And I think we hit on this earlier. Originally, I thought that cleaning up and removing lots of duplicate templates would cause problems. I've had no issues. I was just in a deck a few days ago with dozens of iterations of the same template. And one of our team members was in the deck working as well. And I was in there just constantly, you know, replacing and updating the layouts with the proper template and deleting old templates. And it was flawless. It was beautiful. So there's not a lot of times when I don't think you should not use Teams.
So I think we need to clarify, this is for editing Teams. This isn't presenting. Presenting through Teams is another option, but we're just opening up the file in PowerPoint and doing our work. So if I put it in show mode, I could run through show mode on my computer to see animations, to see how things work. And everybody else that's in there is not going to see the show mode, because we're literally working on the file independently, but all connected. presenting is a whole different scenario. And we don't really do a lot of presenting through Teams, to be honest. We're very much a desktop presentation workflow. So one of the other things that I get, it's kind of a gotcha, on this thing is, and you mentioned it earlier, is Teams doesn't by default show the file size in its file explorer view. Dumb. I don't know why. And it used to be a really painful process to add it. You had to literally say open in SharePoint, go to SharePoint. You had it. Now it's pretty easy because those things that are you had to access over in the SharePoint side are available in Teams. Over on the far right, there's the little plus sign, add column, and you select file size and it shows up. Do you agree that this is kind of a good thing? Now, the other gotcha on this, though, is that the file size you see may not be the actual file size because SharePoint is sometimes being too smart to be helpful. Sometimes Teams will show you the file size plus the saved versions. All the saved versions could be added in there. So suddenly, if you see something that's like 1.8 gigabytes and you're like, wait a minute, this used to be like 50 megabytes, most likely it's showing you all the saved versions. Or it can show you the file size plus all the trash versions that have been, you know, said to be removed, but the trash can area, which is not the one on your computer, isn't empty. They're just in the trash. Basically, use the file size as an indicator. If it's too large, don't trust it. Download it. That's going to give you the real file size because the one on your computer is now a standalone file. It doesn't have those connections to everything, but that's a little thing to be aware of. And don't you, I should say, don't you? I know you do. I know you have the issue of, I mean, Teams is pretty robust. Every user has a terabyte of space and corporate entities can allocate additional space, but you've run into this quite a bit where you're like, suddenly people can't save their files because the shared folder is run out of room, right?
Correct. And that's on our client teams. And I think that's an IT thing, not critical. I think it's two things. One, I don't know what their default is, but I think it's smaller because they're trying to manage, you know, their sizes. But also when we are working on these large shows, these files grow, and even the asset folders that, you know, are in Teams for us to share photos and videos and such, those grow so quickly. So even if your PowerPoint file is small, if other files within that particular Teams folder environment are huge, you run out of space, and then you can't save the file, and then the emails start flying, and everyone starts panicking. And that's when having a good connection and a strong IT department is very helpful.
Also, going on with the file size thing, you can get file size of individual files. You cannot get folder size in Teams. You have to go out to SharePoint. So there's some limit. And you know what? Maybe next week that'll change by the time this comes out, but I kind of doubt it. But there are so many things that have gotten better. Oh, okay, yeah. So we talked about clients and how we work with clients, but where we really started was our internal team. How do we use this as a design tool for us, for our, not a design tool. How do we use this as a workflow tool for us? And this is where I was really excited about it. Lori was less receptive to it, and it took a little bit of time. So then it became an internal workflow. Now it's our standard workflow, which I think we'll talk about. And then it's expanded into the client interactions. So this is kind of a several years in the making type of conversation because it wasn't so trustworthy by us until now. But Lori, let's talk about internal. Like, give an example of taking a project and saying, okay, team, here's how we're going to format these decks.
Yeah. Well, let's pivot over to our medical clients, if you will. So we routinely work on what we call cleanup projects. We're not doing design makeovers. Rather, we're simply doing a thorough cleaning and consistency check, if you will. So think like making sure that the headers and footers are matching and consistent from slide to slide. Colors are being consistently applied to charts, like drug names, for example. Drug A is always the blue color, and drug B or the placebo is always gray. We have a detailed checklist. And these are medical or clinical decks, and we've been hired because we make their slides look perfect and consistent. So with that in mind, we now upload these decks to our TLC tenant. We create a project folder there for them. And from there, we do one of two things. Either we divide up the decks where one designer makes a full first pass, on cleaning up the deck. And then a second designer comes through and does a double check. you know, they're the backup check to catch anything that was missed. And that's for, you know, the simpler projects. Or for some of the more complex or larger decks, everyone is assigned a task. So we upload the deck to our TLC teams. And then, for example, designer one, they go through the deck and they are in charge and only focused on the headers. They're checking to make sure that, you know, according to the template or whatever has been decided, that the font size, color, position, capitalization, that is consistent from slide to slide to slide.
I will jump in and say consistent to the template. If it's a, you know, assuming we actually got to design the template, we're making sure everything is updated to the template. We're just not randomly choosing something.
True.
We do love templates for consistency and creating the design style guide parameters. And in this case, we can have multiple people because they all know the same rules. Okay, I'm done jumping in.
Jump anytime. So while one designer is focused on the headers, another designer is focused slowly on the footers, another is focused on the charts, et cetera. And you can imagine if they're going through 20 medical decks, and it's one designer, you can imagine, okay, between the 20 decks, all the headers are going to be consistent because the same person has gone through every deck and applied the same checklist. Same with the footers, the charts, things like that. So I think
the
great.
Real magic comes in with, as we're getting further down, somebody can actually be running it in Slideshow and checking it there while other people are still editing it. And that's a true seamless workflow. I mean, we can have 2, 3, 6 people working on a file at the same time, all at different stages or focus points.
And sometimes we've got a deck it's more of a rush. And so we will load it on Teams. And for example, Jake will start at the top and work his way down. And I will start, or Christy will start at the back and work their way forward. So, you know, we're getting all the slides cleaned and made over, and we've got, you know, 2 people on at once and they meet in the middle somewhere. And that has worked really well as well.
I think one thing to talk about here is that we also combine that with, there's a lot of communication and there's a few of us in the office a few days a week, but not all of us. And we're never all together because people are kind of, you know, scattered around. The remote era has hit us and we are now a remote company, but we always have a way of tracking who has done what. Do you want to talk about that?
I mean, some
of our OCD about checklists and stuff.
we are truly OCD. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. So yeah, we use Teams for PowerPoint, but we use Teams for tracking. In this case, we use Excel. So we will create a simple Excel tracking file, you know, imagine columns and rows with different things, you know, however you want to organize it. But we drop that Excel tracker into the Teams project folder. And from there, everybody, you know, again, they open it in Excel. Although I'll be honest with you, for Excel, I often just work directly in Teams. And now I'm going to diverge even further. My only issue with that is that when you open a file within Teams, now your Teams interface is taken up. So if you want to chat, you have to leave and go chat, and then you have to go back and open the file again within Teams. Does that make sense?
I think it's one of the biggest limitations.
Why can't we have another window? But anyway, So, you know, I'll have the Excel tracker open, but so will the rest of our team. And like real time, we're dropping in our initials. Okay, I've started this file. I'm doing this. And so everyone can see what everyone else is doing. Everyone can see what files need the second designer to look at. And they can jump in and say, okay, I'm going to start checking these files. It's fantastic.
Yeah. There's a lot of connection and coordination. Again, it's a workflow that we've put together and is evolved, and there's more to it. We have, our own project management system over on monday.com now. And there's a lot of other things that go into there. But review cycles and everything else are great for that. So
that's, I have one other one, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I just remembered. So taking the collaboration, the file tracking a step further, one of our clients uses SharePoint to track. And so if you imagine you have a Teams folder with, you know, 20 files in it, you open that Teams environment in SharePoint, you know, that little button up in the corner, open SharePoint. So you're now viewing all the files within SharePoint. And they have used leveraged SharePoint's abilities for file tracking. And so looking at the columns that are set, you can see that files have, you know, R pluses, people who are assigned as the content creators. You can see the status of the file in another column that gets changed. And the statuses were predetermined, you know, defined by them. So with colors and text saying, you know, this is for legal review, and now this is ready for marketing review. So they're using SharePoint as a tracking tool quite extensively. A little bit more technical, and you need to have more training versus just simply using an Excel file. But again, that's in the team's environment, if you will, and has been very successful.
So two other options on that tracking thing that are a little more intimate or small shop oriented. One is, if you're Mac-based, and we are not, but I do envy the fact that Macs have the ability to color code files. Mm-hmm. Yes. So they can literally, and I've seen designers that have color coding that says, you know, with client, with me, you know, process, you know, they have a metric, or they have a legend for their colors, which I think is really awesome. The other thing though, that I think works really well, make your slide number one hidden, and it says file tracking, and you put your list, basically what we have in Excel, you put it right on slide one, because it's in PowerPoint, people can edit it. And that way the client and you, or you and your designers, you all have a central place to look. You don't have to create something really robust. And then at the end, you just delete that slide, or you keep it because it could become your tracking metric for future conversations about who did what. But you can put it right in the slide. I've seen a couple other designers do that. I think it's a really, really good idea. And it creates that seamless workflow, which is what it's all about.
We did that recently for keeping track of script updates for different sections, which sections had been updated to which version of the script. I totally forgot. Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many good things. Yeah, so it's an internal workflow for us, and it has been for a long time. I like it. Now, I need to shift us, because this is where I really get excited. And this is the part when I figured this out. I was like, this is it. Teams is my magic tool. And I'm going to have Lori describe it, because it took this wasn't an overnight conversion. No. Lori, can you explain
how
show file collaboration, where we're collaborating basically with ourself, but it's ourself on multiple computers.
Yep.
Everybody
yep.
just track with this. It's amazing.
Okay. I'll try and describe this, but first of all, the credit for all the techie stuff is 100% Troy. He is the techie brain. But I think I've been a good student. I've come a long way, and I even agree with this new system because it's really cool. So close your eyes, sit back, and try and imagine the corner of our office workspace where we do live shows. I have three computers going. Each computer has two monitors, and I'm set up in a corner, so it's kind of nice. You can imagine six monitors there. Computer one is my local computer. And here I have, in this case, let's go back to that line review deck, the large, super big deck that everybody's in. I have that line review deck opened directly from Teams, opened in app, on one monitor. And then on my other monitor, I have my virtual meeting, my rehearsal meeting in this case. So it could be Zoom, it could be our VXP Backstage platform. I have that open on the other monitor. So on computer one, I am listening to the virtual meeting rehearsal so I can follow along with the script and advance the slides. But also, if I ever needed to, I do have the ability to jump in and edit the deck. So that's computer one. Computer two is my primary show computer, and it's connected remotely to the AV primary show computer on site. Here, I have opened the same line review deck directly from Teams. And in this case, the deck is in show mode with the show portion displaying on monitor one and my presenter view displaying on the second monitor. So here is where I am literally watching the presenter view script. And, as the presenters, I'm listening to them on computer one. And, you know, when they get to a certain part in the script, I know when to click, whether it's for an animation or for the next slide. So these to work hand in hand. I'm literally monitoring on computer one, seeing the meeting, seeing the slides, listening to the presenter. And then on computer two, my show computer, I am actually controlling the slides and advancing them. Now, computer three, this is my backup show computer. Again, it's connected remotely to the backup computer on site with the AV team. And let me pause here for 1 second. 99% of all shows that we run for our clients have a primary and a backup computer in line. That's just what you do at the caliber shows, the professional, not saying you're not professional, but, you know, at the shows that we're doing, the big shows, we always have a primary and a backup. I would say maybe 2% of the time, something happens. Could be a technical glitch, an internet issue, someone's backstage being where they shouldn't be and they trip over the power. It's happened. But something happens where the AV teams need to switch to my backup computer so that the show can keep going with only a very momentary pause. That's why we have a backup computer in line. Okay, so anyway, back to my computer three, my backup computer. Once again, I have the same line review opened in Teams. So this is the third time I've opened the same file. And this time it's in slide sorter view. However, at a moment's notice, I could jump into show mode. And just like computer, the primary computer, the presentation would display. So here's how I use all three. I listen to the presenters on computer one while watching presenter view on computer two. So when the script that I'm following in presenter view indicates to advance the slide or animation, that's exactly what I do. And what's nice is that I can see the slide advance on computer one on the virtual meeting that I'm monitoring and listening to. And that's what I do for most of the meeting. I'm just listening and advancing slides. I do, however, refer to the slide sorter on computer three to know when videos are going to be played or when a new presenter is coming up. And that's where those slates that we talked about earlier are so important. But here's the magic. Let's say that I'm notified that we have a wrong, you know, sales number in the deck or any other possible content mistake, including like a wrong image, for example. I can jump onto computer one and make the edit there. And within moments, it's going to show up on the primary and the backup computers. It is seriously magical. I've even edited the slide we're on and seen the change nicely simply fade on screen. But I only do that when I'm in rehearsals because, you know, people freak out, I'm sure, if they see things changing like that in show mode. It's amazing. Now, I could do the edits on the backup computer as well. I could do this whole thing with only two computers, but we have the space, we have the computer, so three is very easy for me to monitor and control. But having the ability to make changes live while you are in rehearsal, and that could be things like changing presenter slates, moving slides around because the presenters realize that they want to try it in a different way, and then having that instantly available to them, it's fantastic.
Absolutely. Again, we're collaborating with ourselves. We have three computers open with the exact same file. And it's what I was saying there is that you can be in slideshow mode on one computer, but the other computers aren't going to see slideshow mode. They can be doing other things in that file. So, okay, Lori, you just jumped to the most techie, awesome workflow we have, which is running a presentation from our studio from multiple computers and one monitoring the virtual meeting where it's being displayed and everything else. I was actually going to go a little simpler. So I'm going to move us on to the on-site events where we're part of the AV team and we're running, you know, the PowerPoint computers, we're coordinating the files, we're assisting the presenters. Same thing, three computers. There's a primary show computer, which is going to be in slideshow mode, and it's going to be what slides are seen by the audience. We have a backup show computer. It's going to most likely be in slideshow mode, running all the slides in sync so that there can be a backup, you know, they can switch over to that computer for any needs. And then I have what I call the production computer. It's my computer. It's not the one I use for shows. It's the one I check email on. It's the one I do all my work on. It has more add-ins and all that. And this happens all the time. So the meeting I was just at, the slide review was a little rough. There was a lot of discussion about what should be presented. So as example, they're like, hey, you know what? We don't want to call out that team. Could we remove that line within the table? I did not have to exit slideshow mode and let everybody, you know, watch the changes come into effect or be put on pause on my production computer that has the exact same file. I literally highlighted that row, delete that. Hold on, row column. Yeah, delete that row from the table. And in the presentation view where everybody's watching it for rehearsal. So it is a slideshow happening, but it's a rehearsal. It just disappears. They're like, okay, great, thanks. Hey, you know, that's a typo. Could you change the spelling of that to be, you know, how we do it for this drug name? And, you know, we work on in the back, the production computer. And it's just an incredible workflow. And that was a very low bandwidth environment. Mm-hmm. The hotel Wi-Fi was not my friend. But it still kept sync with everything incredibly well. It took a long time to open those files because that's a good note is if you have a big file and you go to say open in app, it does need to open. It'll show you the skeleton view of the slides.
You can see the file size at that moment in time. Just saying.
I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah, the little when thing you down see it opening, it tells you the file size. So that's the one point in time when you can see what the file size is.
So you do need to wait for it to fully build. And there's a little progress bar at the bottom and it can be long. And these were only like 50, 60 megabyte files. And I'm just watching this progress bar creep along. But once they're open, I was I ended up running the show this way as well, even with the low bandwidth. Now to protect myself, I did download each of that day's files because it was one master file. I did download to the computer in case I had to jump out and run it from there because I knew if I had to reopen it from Teams with the slow bandwidth, it would not work.
But you chose to run it in Teams for show. One, because the file size wasn't huge, but two, this client, you felt like this client was going to throw some zingers at you and that would allow you to take care of those zingers.
There was actually a whole third layer to that in that there was the potential for audience questions. So we had a polling system going. We also had live, we had an ongoing question thing and they wanted to, if anybody had a technical question, display it on a slide. So I had the Q&A system open on my production computer. If they starred any of the questions, this is becoming a really long explanation. Basically, they could select one. I could copy and paste it out of the website where I was logged into, and I could paste it onto another slide. My last slide of my deck was literally a blank slide, is on their template with a text box. So I could jump to that, paste it in, and put it on screen really fast. I could do that because it was a collaboration file. I mean, I could do some magic that would have been very difficult. You know, in years past, we would do that on the backup computer. Then we'd say, okay, you know, video switch person, go to backup. Okay, now go back to the beginning. I could do it all live. So there is a lot going on. Not things I highly recommend everybody take on, but it is pretty darn cool. But this idea that our workflow is now a collaboration file where we're collaborating with ourselves. No one else has access to the file except for our show computers and production computers. And there, now you have two scenarios of where this actually comes into play. It's pretty darn amazing how well it works.
And can I back you up real quick? One thing not to overlook in this rehearsal environment, I think it is incredibly powerful when your client sees the change made instantly, sees that you've switched the flow of the slides and they walk through the flow right then and there to have confidence that, okay, I'm ready to go for show. Because, you know, not too long ago, we would have to take notes and then we would make all those edits offline. And either the presenter would have to come back and rehearse again or review the slides again. And now they can see it done instantly and have confidence that we have the confidence too, that we're all good to go.
You know, last point on this before I go further, we do have rehearsals where it's a client, one of those clients that has, you know, their Office 365 based or Microsoft 365 based, they will be making edits to the slides direct while we're running them, or other groups will be working on their, like, oh, they said this, they'll update theirs. So we do have collaboration going on, but I will say that for show, we move the files to another location so that the teams don't get access to it any longer. But we do have that collaboration even with clients during rehearsals. Okay. I just a couple more points here. And I wanted to ask this one because I have a particular point. Experience with other software or collaboration options that aren't like the Teams-based collaboration. Any good experiences, bad experiences?
You're talking PowerPoint, right?
Yeah.
Well, Box. So I think I know what you're alluding to. My issues with Box the other week. Lovebox.com client uses it exclusively. In the past, it's just been simply a place to load and download files. But lately, they have been starting to make changes on Box. If you're going to edit a file in Box, you can again open it in PowerPoint online with the usual edit limitations.
Well, no, actually, I got really impressed with Box until I didn't. They now have, you have to download the Box app and run it on. Now, I was Windows based, so I don't know where the Mac version comes in on this, but they literally allow you to open from Box, open an app, just similar to Teams. And it says it's a collaboration mechanism, so I was expecting a Teams workflow, but I can see where this fails or causes problems. Basically, you get the file, it's connected to Box, but it doesn't make those changes incrementally. As soon as you hit file save, it then pushes the new version to Box. I was like, oh no, I could see the dilemmas. And sure enough, it did happen during this project where client was working on it, I was working on it, client made changes, pushed their version back, and all of a sudden I'm like, I get a notification, there are new changes there. I'm like, well, what about all the stuff I've been doing? Because as soon as I hit save, there isn't a really good management mechanism or as good a management. So I don't think it's true real-time collaboration, and it did kind of have a, you know, you have to kind of pause and hit save, which ironically is the way Microsoft kind of originally rolled out some of their stuff. You know, we're talking 5-6 years ago now, but it's there. Dropbox, and then there's the whole online thing. It tends to cause more problems. The one I would say is Google Slides. I'm not a big Google Slides fan, but they, because the file only lives online, multiple people can collaborate and edit on it. And I've had good experiences with it, not good experiences with Google Slides, because I expect all the robustness of PowerPoint as far as editing and features and template-based consistency. And that's really not there. So there's just the two things I was thinking of was this recent experience with Box and just kind of other experiences with Google. Anything else you can think of?
No, I don't trust them yet. You know, Dropbox, I
hey, by the way, folks, she didn't trust Microsoft Teams for a long time. So we're getting somewhere. They have hope. They've got a future.
I mean, both Box and Dropbox do great in terms of if you upload a new file, it tracks it. You can go back to old versions. That's great. But I had issues with Box when I was doing the same thing. I opened the file within PowerPoint. I didn't download the app because I didn't trust it. But I had to save and all that. I had a point where I got one of my decks back and all the font sizes changed on the template master. So instead of being 28 point, they were 27.1 point. And I didn't have time to delve into it greatly, but I just don't trust Box to edit.
Hey, which one is it, Box or Dropbox, where you can like truly lock the file? You can, is it Box?
Box. Well, okay. Box for sure. And you know what I love about Box? Okay, here we go. I'm not always curmudgeonly. I love Box in that you can set time limits for when you lock the file. So you can lock it for an hour, 2 weeks, indefinitely, and other options in there. I think that is brilliant. Because there have been times when, you know, a project's done and you go to edit a file for whatever reason and someone else checked it out months ago and you got to track them down. So I love that feature on Box.
So SharePoint, as I alluded to earlier, they do have a file checkout mechanism. They have a feature. You can click on the file and anybody that has access to the file, edit access, can literally say check out. Now, the caveat is everybody else needs to be out of the file. So that's one management thing that can always be a problem. The second thing is that anybody can still download the file. It's not locked to access to the file. It's just locked to open it from Teams. We have had some enterprising clients basically say, oh, it's locked. They download it, make their changes because they think timing is on them. They wait for the file to be unlocked because, you know, whoever's worked on it, us, we say, there it is, we're done, it's now available, and they upload their version, effectively eliminating the design team edits.
Yep.
I don't know where the thought process goes outside. It's kind of selfish saying, I got to get my stuff in here, but I will point out SharePoint versioning to the rescue because you can always go back in time. SharePoint does a lot of versions of these files that are on Teams. But, you know, I just look back, find the version I worked on where it says edited by Troy or the design team. We open that one up, go, yep, this is it. And we overwrite and we say, this is now the current version. So where Box does do a true lockout option that SharePoint doesn't quite have.
Yeah. Well, hey, something came to mind. I think as a last point on PowerPoint and Teams that you should comment on how we leverage Teams, not only for collaboration, but as the media server for large conference events, because I still haven't gotten my head wrapped around what you guys are doing with it.
Absolutely. So you're talking about where we have the whole graphics team accessing the same file and stuff like that. Okay. Yeah. So this is not at all about collaboration. So it's not about multiple people accessing a file at the same time. It's about having one file that multiple people can access and not have to worry about version control. We have in years past had some we've utilized existing or systems that were brought in And we've created some very robust media server systems where, you know, we're basically trying to manage a file. We're trying to get it to each ballroom so it can be run there, but we also want to get it into the speaker ready room so it can be reviewed. We want to manage, you know, we just need to make sure that what we put on screen for the presenter is the file they're expecting. And that is a big lift. And what we've done in recent years, we've actually turned to Microsoft Teams and said, this is our media server for all the presentations. We do start with a fully custom designed file upload system that has nothing to do with Teams. Presenters go to a designated URL, they enter their password, and they can upload their file. You know, they give us their name and their email address. And part of that upload system is it renames the file so that by the time it gets to us in Teams, all the presentations have a universal name. You know, it would be Lori. Well, actually, it would start with
a naming structure.
Yeah, it's a naming structure. So it would say what day you're going to present. It would give your name and it would give the version number. So it wouldn't be, you know, Lori's talk on flowers that are blah, blah, you know, not these crazy. No, actually, that would be actually good because it would have your name in it. Most don't even have the presenter's name in it. So this gives us a uniform file naming structure to work with, and it's on Teams then. So presenter now goes into slide review or the speaker ready room. The staff there, they open up the file because it's very easy to find. They've all been put into folders based on day. It's all based on the name. We can just do a search mechanism for, you know, find them on the agenda. What day do you speak? We open it up there, open in PowerPoint desktop. They can review it. They can make edits. What's great is whatever edits they make, it's getting saved to that team's file. Close it out. They run from there into their ballroom and they go on stage and they say, okay, open up my file. There's no transferring a file. That room now just opens up the exact same file, puts it in presentation mode, presenter presents it. Amazing, amazing system. Now we've combined that with some of our own mechanisms and our own file tracking and reporting and all kinds of other stuff, but we've literally replaced what used to be custom built media servers with Teams. It's pretty cool. You know, the last point I got to make of that is, you know, we have our fleet of show computers and they're all preset, not only with Microsoft Office, but like our own customizations of Office settings and PowerPoint add-ins and the Windows operating system settings. So we kind of know the environment all the computers are going to work in. For the most part, like we'll be in Vegas in a couple of weeks from when this releases with a large graphics team. Almost all the ballrooms will have the exact same show computers. They'll also all have Teams preset on them, and there will be a team for that event that they all have access to, and that's where we can put all the files. So everybody, whether they're in an offline room, whether they'll have access to the single file that's uploaded, or if they get a new version, they put it on Teams, and it's there. So there's no version control issues. It's you just need a good network and good internet connections to make it work, but. Yeah, we've leveraged Teams in some ways that is not really based on the collaboration, but it uses those same mechanisms. And it's definitely our future going forward. I mean, there's nothing else really out there accomplishing so interwoven with PowerPoint. So it's a good option.
That's awesome.
PowerPoint and Microsoft Teams. To clarify, PowerPoint Win32 or the desktop version of PowerPoint and Microsoft Teams is a winning combination at this point in time. The speed of the collaboration, we talked about it a little bit, but it is fast. I mean, it is possible for people to be working on the same slide at the same time and those changes being managed, updates being seen by everybody, and any potential conflicts being announced and, you know, with mechanisms to make them resolved. We've leveraged this combination for, I'm going to say, over 2 years of constant use, but we really go back to when Teams was being released and we started integrating this, you know, so 5 years ago now. And it's making me feel, it makes me feel TLC Creative as a company, we've been ahead of the adoption. You know, we've really leveraged those things. And I think Lori may say we were ahead of things working smoothly as the experience today is definitely easier than it was a year ago and definitely easier than it was 3 years ago. Hey, thank you, Lori, for being a part of this episode and sharing your amazing PowerPoint knowledge. And this, by the way, was Lori's idea for an episode. So I'm really thank you for the time. It's been
fun.
Welcome. And let's do a few little last show closing tidbits. Mm-hmm. Okay, pro and tech tips. It's just the two of us. So we got two tips. And Lori, I'll let you go first.
Okay, well, I'm not as techy, but I do have a tech tip. And since this is kind of a family podcast this time, I've got a great tip I learned from one of our daughters. We are an iPhone family, so apologies to non-iPhone users, as I don't think this will apply. But like many families, we have a family chat group on our phones. And we also share a few of our entertainment accounts. And at least a couple of times every month, one kid or another, occasionally I might be guilty too, is asking for, you know, what's the Netflix password or what's our home guest Wi-Fi password? I didn't know this, and my daughter set it up. You can share specific notes from the Apple Notes app, you know, the yellow little notebook looking icon. You can share specific notes as a family share file. Speaking of collaboration. So my daughter created one and shared it for family passwords. And of course, we don't ever put anything critical here, but like, you know, Netflix, you know, the Wi-Fi for each of our homes, you know, these are all easily changed if we ever needed to. But it's been amazing. And so now we all can stop bugging each other for passwords. But I took it a step further and I shared my Costco/Ralph's shopping list note with Troy. So now he can add stuff to the shopping list without leaving me a sticky note or forgetting. But I just found out that he needs to turn on iCloud sharing. So,
hey, maybe like you with Microsoft Teams, I'll grow to trust it. Okay. As we were just in Italy and it was a fantastic work environment. And then it was even more fantastic that we escaped. We went and toured around Florence, Italy, city we have never been to, and also Bologna, which is a lot of people like, oh, why are you going there? Highly recommended. But I bought not a single serving size, but actually a retail box of these delicious treats. They're called Pocket Coffee Classico. As far as I can see, they're a product of Italy. And I've had them a few times while there. And I always get them when I go into a little convenience store. They're basically a chocolate coated wafer cookie. It's about the size and shape of like a standard Lego brick. And the interior is filled with this rich, really rich espresso coffee syrup. Absolutely phenomenal and fun. So I did buy a nice size box of them. I've been kind of, you know, enjoying those every now and then. I did find them on Amazon. So I'll share the link. But from what I can see, they're apparently manufactured other places. I've only had them from Italy over the years. And so the link I found, it's definitely not Italian language. It's also not English. I don't know what the whole story behind them is, but hey, the Pocket Coffee Classico, if you're a coffee lover, these things are pretty darn cool. This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a professional presentation design agency. Check us out at tlccreative.com. Check us out for any virtual, hybrid, or registration site needs at vxpmeeting.com. And we always have great things on the powerpointblog.com. Just tons and tons of presentation stuff. In fact, we're still doing our bullet list design series at this point. So tons of great inspiration. Lori.
Oh, I get it easy. This is Lori from TLC Creative Services, where I simply get to say ditto. And thanks for having me. I love sharing with all you guys.
Thanks for joining us at the Presentation Podcast for another fantastic PowerPoint conversation. Troy and Lori, thank you for sharing the workflows at TLC Creative Services and giving us ideas on what we can be doing to improve our presentation design workflows. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.
So now I want to know, what are we having for dinner? If you make the salmon, I'll do homemade pasta.
Oh, okay. Let's hit stop and we'll talk about that more.